Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Are you ready to kick off residence tonight? This is our first of a long, long summer of residence, and we are so glad that you are with us here tonight. This coming summer is one-on-ones with Jesus. That's what we're going to be studying. So these interactions, these personal interactions that Jesus had with people is what we're going to be looking at. Every Wednesday night you come, that's what we're going to be talking about. What did it look like to have one-on-ones with Jesus? And what kind of stuff did Jesus say to them as he interacted with them? And so that's all summer long. I think there's probably, I want to say 12, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, it's 12 Wednesdays that we're going to be doing it. So 12 different interactions with Jesus. And so I'm excited about it. What better way to honor the Lord than to study him, right? And see how he responded to people. So tonight, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is where we're going to be tonight. John chapter 9, verse 1. Lord, just you've already been here. You're already present. You're already working. And so, Lord, tonight, we just want to focus our attention upon you. Lord, our hope throughout this entire summer is that there would be people, and maybe there's someone watching online or here tonight who has kind of an idea, maybe, of who Jesus is, who you are, but is not super clear. And tonight, I pray as we read this account in John chapter 9, that you would bring them supernatural clarity, that for maybe the first time tonight, they would receive you and walk with you and live a completely different sort of life with their eyes fixed upon you. And Lord, I believe that's your heart tonight. I believe you love that person and those people who are here who don't know you. And Lord, you're calling them to yourself. And so do that work tonight above and beyond anything I've got planned. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So look at John chapter 9, verse 1. Here's what it says. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Kind of an interesting question. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So what did the disciples ask him? He said, listen, this guy's blind. And who was it? Whose sin caused this blindness for this man? There was a belief in the Jewish culture that this person, either was this person's future sin, that God kind of made him blind at birth, or it was his parents' sin that caused him to be blind at birth, to which Jesus says is actually neither one of those things. That's not true. That's not good doctrine. That's not good theology. That's not how someone was blind from birth. And he says about this one man specifically, he says, but this man was born blind so that you would learn the lesson I'm about ready to teach you. That actually I'm going to do something in this man's life that's going to forever change it. And I want you to know that God ordained this moment through his hands of sovereignty and power so that you would learn a lesson. And he actually, quite frankly, this blind man in this moment would learn a lesson. What is that lesson that he wants them to learn? He wants them to learn there's a difference between day and night. What's the difference between day and night? Somebody tell me. Dark and light, right? What happens at the nighttime? Darkness. What happens in the light daytime? Lightness? Light. It's light. You can see, right? So there's a difference between these two. And Jesus says, this is so important for you to grasp this notion, this truth, and this reality. Here's the thing. Jesus is actually referring to not just day and night, but he's talking about spirituality. That actually there's a blindness or a darkness in the world that people don't see Jesus for who he is. Jesus would have said, they don't see my Father for who he is and the work that he wants to do on the face of the earth and the work that he wants to do specifically in your life. There's a darkness that's on the world. And he says something so important, but there is an opportunity for light. There's an opportunity for you to see what is going on. But there's a time issue here. What's the time issue? That actually what Jesus says here in this moment is that the light is currently in the world. What's the light? What is that? This is what he's saying. Listen, you need this light if you are going to see in the dark. At nighttime, you need that light that's going to shine through so you don't bump into things. So that you can see what is really going on in the room that you're at where there's darkness. Well, who's the light? Look at verse 5 with me. Verse 5 in the text, listen to what Jesus says. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I've actually come to bring light in the darkness. Where's the darkness? It's all around. And in fact, what Jesus is saying here is, I've come to bring and shine light upon my Father, upon truth, and about who I am. I am that light in the darkness. Because you might say, well, I don't know who the light is or where do I get that light, right? And Jesus is actually coming to this man and saying, I am the light of the world. He's coming to his disciples and saying, I am the light of the world. Check this out. You don't have to turn there, but John has already kind of been on this theme as we work through his gospel. John chapter 1, verse 4, here's what it says. In him, that's Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 8:12, four chapters later. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have what? The light of life. Jesus is coming and saying, listen, y'all, there's a darkness around, but if you want to be able to permeate and see through that darkness, then you need to have the light of life, the light of the world in your life. Then, as if that wasn't enough, like, oh, that's a great teaching, Jesus. That's a lot of good teaching right there. I love those words that you said. Look what he does next. Look at verse 6. As he so often did. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. He's actually already done this a couple times or used saliva to heal someone. Verse 7, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back, what? Seeing. Therefore, verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, well, looks like him, right? How could it be him? He was blind and now he can see. Looks like him. He said, no. I am he. I'm the guy. Verse 10, therefore he said to him, how were your eyes opened? That's like the question of the day. You were born blind. Imagine what has to go on in the human eye for them to be able to see. I mean, this is so far-fetched that you are now the one who was begging and you couldn't see and now you can see. How did that happen? Look at verse 11. He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. There's this life-changing moment in this man's life where he could not see. He now can see. This is an incredible thing. This is something that would radically change his life forever. His encounter, first encounter with Jesus, is life-changing. That Jesus works this miracle upon him. And then he testifies to all these people. Hey, I'm the one. I'm the guy. He told me to do this thing and I did it. And I could see now this incredible moment. But here's the thing with the blind man. And I want you to notice this as we move through this text. Initially, all he knows is this. His name was Jesus. That's all he knows. Like, his encounter with Jesus was miraculous, and he knows the name of Jesus. That's it. In fact, when they ask him, well, where is he? He's like, I don't know. And I want you to track with this for a second, because what's going to happen here, and it's very clear that as John writes this gospel, he says there's two different people. There's some that know the name of Jesus, hear the name of Jesus, and they will get more and more clear on who Jesus is. Almost like the blind man who couldn't see, but clarity will keep coming closer and closer as we move through the text. There's another group of people. You're going to see here in just a second. They're the Pharisees. And as we get further along the text, they become more and more hardened to the name of Jesus. They actually close themselves off more and more to the things of Jesus. In fact, I want you to see this here. Take a look at verse 13 as we move on. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Like, hey, dude, you got to come with us. We're going to go to church and you're going to talk to the religious people and they're going to try to make sense of all this because you were blind, dude. You could not see. Now, it was the Sabbath. Oh, when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, speaking of Jesus, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Oh, okay. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. Here's the thing. The Pharisees immediately are like, how did you get healed? And he tells them, and they're like, oh, did he do it on the Sabbath? Like, I could not see, and now I can see. God does this miraculous work, and you're worried about the day that he did it on? And, oh yeah, this is the day where we don't do anything, we rest. And he wasn't resting, he was playing in dirt. Did you see that? He was kneading the dirt, and then he put it on your eyes. That's work, and we don't work on the Sabbath. Can you see the hearts of the people? The dude is like, I can see, and you're worried about the day that he saved me on, the day that he enabled me to see. Look what they're doing here, I believe, right off the bat. They hear the name of Jesus, and they're starting to make excuses. Oh, he can't be from God because God would never heal on the Sabbath. God would never do that, right? And they start to make excuses because Jesus can't be that guy. He can't be the one. And don't we do the same thing? Maybe before you came to the Lord, maybe you were like, I don't go to church because the church is filled with hypocrites, right? Those people are imperfect sinners, to which the church is like, yes, that's us. You've got us, right? We are imperfect sinners, right? And they start to make excuses and they start to say, well, I'm not going to honor Jesus because, well, all they want at church is your money. That's the other one, right? They just want your money. We don't want your money. Keep your money, right? They said this is all. That's the reason why I don't follow Jesus. They just want your money. Or this one, this is probably the more real one. You know, if I follow Jesus, I'm probably have to change some things in my life, right? That's one that gets brought up. I actually appreciate that one. That's a genuine concern of like, hey, yeah, maybe I'm gonna have to change some things. So I try to stay away from Jesus because I don't want to change anything in my life, right? That's what these guys are doing. He healed on the Sabbath, so we don't want anything to do with him. In fact, look at what they say next, verse 17. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. Now listen to the clarity here, because he's getting closer. He said, he's a prophet. Oh, okay. So the man who could now see moved from Jesus, and I don't know where he is, to, I think he's a prophet. Okay. We'll take that for now. Look at verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, here you go, that he had been blind and receive his sight. Oh, couldn't have been the guy. Until they called his parents of him who had received sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see? You see, they're asking. Verse 20, his parents answered and said to them, we know that this is our son. Well, that's good. And that he's born blind. But what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. Do they really not know? Or are they really just scared? And I think you're going to see here in a second that they're scared. Here's why. Look at verse 22. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. They wanted nothing to do with what was going on with this line of questioning. Go talk to him. Go talk to him. I mean, your kid just saw for the first time in his entire life. You would think you'd be ecstatic and you would be like, let's go worship the man who gave sight to the blind. Let's find Jesus and let's praise his name. And instead, they're living in fear. Fear of the Jews, fear of being kicked out of their culture and out of their church, so to speak. The thing that was central to their culture, which was the synagogue, and life happened around the synagogue. And they were afraid of losing friends. And so they said, you know what? We're not going to answer the question. You need to go talk to our son. He's old enough to answer. Look at verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind. Do you notice this? Again, they called. Again, they asked. Again, they called. They're just questioning this guy and they're not believing. And in fact, every moment that they ask and every moment that Jesus' name is professed, I believe their hearts are getting harder and harder and harder to the things that God wants to speak to them. Look at verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give glory, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. In other words, tell us the truth, man. Like, we know that Jesus isn't who he says he is. Just tell us that straight up. 25. He answered and said to him, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. Look what he says here. This is powerful. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Listen, you can call him whatever you want, essentially is what they're saying, what the blind man saying. Here's the thing I do know, that I couldn't see. I literally could not see. I was blind, and now I see. Some of you would say that in your testimonies. I don't know what you think about Jesus, but I know who he is because there was a moment where I was spiritually blind to the things of God, to the things of Scripture, to Jesus. And then one day, it all changed. I was blind and now I could see. I was given this light that shined bright into the darkness, and his name was Jesus. And there was a moment where I could not see, but now I can't help but see. Everywhere I look, I see, I see, I see. Look at verse 26. Then he said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And at this point, the guy's like, come on, man. Are you serious? Are we doing this again? 27, he answered them, I told you already. And did you not listen? Why do you want to hear it again? And then he did a little humor in the Bible. He says, do you also want to become one of his disciples? I see that. He's like, I know, right? You're asking because you want to follow. Listen to what they do. They're like, then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, this Jesus fellow, we do not know where he is from. And you can see it. Their heart is growing harder. And John conveys that in the gospel by saying, and we don't even know where he's from. They're admitting their own ignorance. They're not trying to find out necessarily who Jesus is. They just want to stop him. And their hearts are growing callous and harder, arrogance and pride. Verse 30, the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Aren't you the spiritual leaders of this nation, Pharisees, right? Jewish people, aren't you the leaders of all this? Shouldn't you know? And he says, this is a marvelous thing. You don't know because he's done this powerful work in my life. Now we know that, verse 31, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you are completely, I chuckle because it's like they're angry, right? They're frustrated. They say to him, you were completely born in sin and you are teaching us. And they cast him out, more than likely out of fellowship, out of the synagogue. You're out of here, man. If you're going to follow Jesus, you can't come back around here any longer. And you can see what's happened here. The blind man, like maybe you did in your spiritual journey walking with Jesus, you became more and more clear of who Jesus is. And maybe someone here tonight is more like the Pharisee whose heart has been like, get away. I don't want to change the things. I've got lots of reasons why I don't believe in this Jesus fellow. And your heart has been getting harder and harder and harder. And maybe tonight through this teaching and confession of who Jesus is, you're seeing actually maybe he is the one that I've been missing in my life. Listen to what the man said in verse 25. He says, one thing I know, that though I was blind, I now see. This is the one thing I know, that Jesus changed my life forever. Verse 33, he says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. The clarity of the blind man, not only in his physical eyes grew, but actually in his, probably the more important area, the spiritual life grew as he confessed and looked to Jesus. Listen, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Here's another interaction with Jesus, with the blind man. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Now, the idea here of Son of God is from Daniel chapter 7, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, who will have kingdom and glory, and all peoples and nations and language will serve him. So the question here is not just, do you believe that I'm Jesus, the one who can heal? The question is, do you believe that I'm the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 7? Do you believe that I am the one that this, the Christ and the Messiah, the one sent by God? Right? Do you believe that about me? That's the question he asks. Verse 36, he answered him and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Can you imagine that moment? You just can see now there's no way that this is not a miracle sent by God. And here stands Jesus who healed you. And in that moment, there's this realization that what he just said is he's the Christ, the Messiah, the one who's come to save the world, sent by God. And you're standing with him now. I believe. And it says he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see. That's the guy who was blind. That's the spiritually lost. That's the people who are living in darkness. Jesus is saying, I want them to see that I am the light of the world. I am that promised one. And he said, I also came for judgment for this. And those who see may be made blind. That's the Pharisees. Oh, we got this. We don't need you, Jesus. I have my life path laid out already before me. I already kind of know, I have my own spirituality of kind of the way I work through my own things. And he's saying, listen, for those people, they're to become more and more blind to the reality of who I am. The more they hear the name Jesus and push me away, their hearts grow harder and colder, like the Pharisee. He said, but I came for those who are broken and lost, and who are lost in life, and who are seeking the light. And when they find the light, they will find me, for I am the light of the world. Look at verse 40. Some of the Pharisees who were there with him heard these words and said, are we blind also? And that's the way they said it too. I know for a fact. Jesus, are we blind also? That's how they did it. Verse 41, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you see. We see, therefore, now you see, therefore your sins remain. In other words, you're accountable for those sins because I've now given you the gospel. You know I'm the light of the world. You've seen me heal this man, and now you're accountable for what you're going to do with my name and who I am. Will you be like the blind man who said, I believe. Jesus, you changed my life. I believe. And fell and worship. Or are you going to be the Pharisee who says, I kind of got this thing figured out. I'm good. I don't need Jesus at all. And he's saying, listen, I've come for judgment. And I'm actually calling you and stirring you and moving you closer to who I am. Pharisees accusing, not believing. Blind man, he sees Jesus. Oh, he's a prophet. And then he moves to, I don't know where he went. And then he says, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. He opened my eyes. Clarity, clarity, clarity to this point where he says, I believe that you are the Son of God, and he falls and worships. And I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. Maybe this is the night that you say, listen, I've been moving all along and I've been wondering all along where this end of my path goes. And Jesus tonight is standing there in your path and saying, listen, I want to encourage you to follow after me. Not because I'm a good teacher or a prophet, because what his claim here is I'm the Son of God. I'm the fulfillment that at one point in this creation, all of heaven and earth will bow to me, Jesus is saying. I'm that Son of God. And so tonight you have to make a decision. You have to say, yeah, I honor that. I believe that Jesus is the one and only true Son of God. The way that my sins are forgiven, his death on the cross sets me free. That I just put my belief and trust in him and I begin to walk this life out for him. And you can make that decision tonight. And if that's you, I want to encourage you, don't leave tonight. Don't wait till Wednesday number two of Resonance. I would encourage you, wait, go tonight. We've got actually a prayer booth all the way in the back with a group of guys who'd love to give you a Bible, love to pray with you, explain even more of the gospel to you. I just want to exhort you and encourage you, do not leave tonight. If Jesus has put that on your heart to say, listen, I want to walk with him. I believe what the text says, that he is the light of the world. Then don't take another step. Well, take some steps that gets you to the back, right? Before you leave this place, do not leave without saying, yes, I want to know Jesus more. Would you guys pray with me? And then we'll have Anthony come back up and they'll lead us in a couple more worship songs. Lord, tonight I do believe that when we gather like this, especially out in the open, just like you have it, Lord, we want people to come and walk with you. And I believe you brought people here tonight who need you, Lord, and I believe you will do that work. That's work that goes beyond a Bible study. That's spiritual work. That's miraculous work when your spirit goes to work on a soul like you did mine. Lord, I pray that you would tonight raise up those people to know you. And Lord, I pray for this summer, just in advance, Lord, we just lift up each and every one of these residence nights, that these would be nights where people would come to know you, that we would bring friends, that we would bring people to come and just be a part of this family, adopt them into this family for these nights. And then, Lord, you would do incredible heart and soul work. Lord, as we open your text, as we see these one-on-ones with you, Father, the way you love them and care for them. Lord, be glorified in this place tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.